Or alternatively,
the truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
So, is the Edinburgh connection still there, William, or have you decided to go elsewhere?
I thought about it, but I'm still here.
Right, that's okay then. William Coles in Edinburgh, connecting with Kieran Moore. Is it in Manchester, Kieran? Do we find you in Manchester today?
Yes, I am in Manchester.
Good, that's what we're actually here. Because the last time that William Coles was put in touch with a Starburst correspondent, delightful Ed Fortune, he asked the fatal question, didn't that used to be named after a fruit manufacturer's? Don't go there, William. Do not go there, but all will be well with the world as we formally welcome Professor Fiona Moore back to the airwaves here at Siren, all the way from London, of course.
Hello, delighted to be here.
Excellent. Shaney McKenzie's with us as well, and Ben Lewis, as you might have heard just before the news. So, Bill, what's life like now that the Scots Nationalists do no longer... Well, they've got less of a majority than they once had in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, they're no longer quite as rampant as they have been for the last decade. They're going off licking their wounds and just biding their time because they'll get their referendum one way or another eventually, and they'll keep on having referendums until they win.
Well, there we are. That's the official word, and that's where we've actually put politics to one side and just sort of step away from that point of view. We want to move into all the news from the worlds of Doctor Who with Kieran Moore. Kieran, I've got a confession to make to start off the piece with. Hopefully you can cope with this. I actually purchased the latest audio production of Big Finish solely on your recommendation, and I think you should put in for it. Exactly. Just because I read what you'd put it. Something I would only really do for, obviously, Magic Bullet Productions and Caldor City in times past. But there you are. And Fiona, of course, one of the key souls behind Magic Bullet Productions and Caldor City and a whole heap of other things. Kieran, have you ever reviewed any Magic Bullet stuff? Because Starburst has done so in the past and pretty much to great effect, Fiona, I believe.
I haven't personally, but I'm glad that if someone else at Starburst is giving Magic Bullet some good reviews, that it is actually... actually helping to get some sales for it. So that's always nice to hear.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Alan Stevens would echo those thanks from the Forest of Dean. From
yes.
So, where do we go? We actually have our ace producer in the background here, Ryan Jones, keeping a weather eye out on things. He might have one or two Doctor Who things. We've got Ben, who frankly says after David Tennant, there's been no forward for Doctor Who. It just hasn't connected, really.
Not in my eyes. No.
Shaylee, have you been following, the Ice Warrior, the Ice Empress? Any further production for you for Doctor Who, or is it the case that you've stepped aside from the Peter Capaldi era?
I think I have to agree with Ben on this one. Mm. David Tennant was sort of my generation's Doctor Who. Mm.
But Fiona, being a Doctor Who scholar and ace correspondent from that point of view, from your perspective, you can review the series so far, in the current edition of Starburst magazine, where Kieran Moore edits all the news from the worlds of Doctor Who, Doctor Who is good.
Yeah, not one of my most imaginative titles.
Nicely descriptive.
Exactly. You know, that to me is what university higher education brings to the fore when you can come up with a title. Doctor Who is good.
At least that's to the point.
Exactly. That's a classic thing. So, as we head through the series, and we were debating how long we've actually got, I think it's another four or five episodes to actually go, how is it panning out for yourself, Kieran? Is it still good?
Well, I was really enjoying the first four or five episodes of it. I thought it was really... It has a really nice team in Peter Capaldi and Pearl Mackey, and there was some... It was sort of setting itself apart from the years which had come before, finding its own good set of stories. Then these past few weeks, it's had this trilogy with the Monk, which, to be honest, the series started to lose me a bit around that point. The Monks never really... define themselves as villains. I'm still not sure, after seeing three episodes of them, who they are, what they do, why they wanted to invade the Earth, and it all felt very disoriented to me. So it sort of lost me a little bit there.
William, has it floated your boat in Edinburgh land, given that Peter Capaldi is indeed one of the Scottish people?
is one of the... It has not floated my boat, and I'm afraid nor has it floated my children's boat. They're the sort of people who ought to be watching it. Hasn't done it for them. But when I see Peter Capaldi now, I'm afraid I can't get out of my head him swearing away in the thick of it and being this demented Alistair Campbell. And so he doesn't really do it for me as the Doctor anyway.
So there we are, Fiona. That's the little backdrop. You can hear, obviously, mm-hmm. You've heard William's views, you've heard Kieran's views from that perspective. Where do you sit in that whole tranche? Because as Ben will attest, we've listened every Thursday, religiously it has to be said, to Alan Moore getting progressively more depressed about Doctor Who, really. I think last Thursday it was almost the end.
You mean Alan Stevens?
Alan Stevens.
Yes. Ironically, if you search for Alan Moore on Amazon, you get quite a number of our books.
Exactly.
I think Alan's just got sick of it, really. As it's gone on, it's just deteriorated.
Yeah. So, Fiona, can you offset that balance?
Well, my opinions actually track pretty closely with Kieran's, actually. I guess us Moors got to stick together. I like the team. I like Capaldi. You know, your mileage may vary, but I like Capaldi. And I do like Bill. You know, the performance is lovely, and she's... It's good to have a companion. After Clara, who just seemed to be sort of perfect everything, it's good to have a companion who... you know, is a bit more human. With regard to the stories, again, started strongly, wobbled a bit on Smile because, you know, I thought it was visually good, but once the story itself had too many fridge moments. You know, you go away going, oh, that was pretty, and then you go, wait a minute, how would that work? As I was saying to Alex before the show, I'm a real fan of Oxygen. I thought that one was just fabulous. Was again a bit meh about the Monks trilogy. I know what you mean. You know, they're basically like, The Silence, but, shaped like pyroviles. And, you know, and it was just sort of like, oh God, not another, whispery villain with some kind of fetishistic, desire to take over the earth, you know, and it just, I mean, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sure the writers worked hard on the trilogy and, you know, a lot was put into it, but it just kind of felt too long. You know, I was checking my phone. The Empress of Mars, gorgeous looking, you know, the Empress costume, beautiful. Little iffy on the slim-hipped ice warriors, but, you know, if you're going to revive the costume, that's great. And I like the sort of battered ice warrior look and the kind of, you know, the steampunky spacesuits, those were fun, though how you would get an ear trumpet onto a spacesuit, you know, that's one for the design department. Story, kind of a bit, you know, kind of nostalgic, you know, even though I was watching it, I was thinking, okay, you know, this is fun for me, but, you know, are the younger viewers who aren't necessarily getting all these callbacks enjoying it as much
like
as
Steve.
That, you know?
I mean, Steve wasn't even born when the Ice Warriors were in the Monster of Peladon and so on. So really,
I wasn't even born when the Ice Warriors were in the Monster of Peladon, Alex. That's no excuse.
Kieran, does that kind of chime? Are we sort of saying, well, it started so well, maybe the standard was set a wee bit too high?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the last few weeks have let it down for me, but I am looking forward to seeing what the final three episodes we've got left have to offer. So next week we've got one by Ronan Munro, who has been writing for Doctor Who since 1989. So, you know, maybe she's got loads of ideas built up over the past 28 years, but, you know, it could be quite a promising episode. And then we've got a two-part finale after that, which is, we don't know a lot about. It has the Master, played by John Sim and by Michelle Gomez, and the Mondasian Cybermen, and a black hole, and everything.
I mean, surely, so, you know, the Cybermen from Mondas, John Sim back as the Master, Michelle Gomez with probably her last ever Doctor Who, because she's gone on record as saying, that's it, no more, after Capaldi and company have actually left. Who knows what the Czechs can actually persuade. Finally, before we actually head off, I know William is keen to find out from your good self in Edinburgh about the Starburst International Film Festival. William, would you like to ask the question to Kieran Moore about the excitement that will be taking place Bank Holiday in August?
What on earth is happening? Film Festival?
Oh, good question. So it's same bat time, same bat place as last year. The August Bank Holiday weekend at the Manchester Metropolitan University Student Union. Basically, we've got the building for a weekend. We're putting a load of films on, which will be some new films from up-and-coming filmmakers and some horror sci-fi classics. So I think we've confirmed Necromantic, which is an extreme gory horror classic. So, you know, might not be to everyone's taste, but we've got a director from that coming to do a Q&A as well. Everything else we're putting on, we haven't confirmed anything.
It's all very exciting, though. 40 years of The Spy Who Loved Me, possibly the appearance in Manchester of Shaylee McKenzie and Ben Lewis. Very exciting. We'll be talking more about that with Bradley, the event director, as the thing proceeds. So it's a wonderful stuff there. William, your role now, before we go into the Hut People, I'll say that again, before we go into the Hut People, apropos of the Beverly Folk Festival and Jean's Hut in the Bog. It can always be a Doctor Who title, this. Still, would you like to ask those last two questions to Kieran Moore, please?
I would love to ask those questions. Kieran, have you had an interesting telephonic link with Saren today?
I have.
Excellent. Would you like to do it again?
Yeah.
Yay! From the world's longest-running magazine of cult entertainment, Starburst Magazine, Kieran Moore. No mention of soft fruits whatsoever, but clearly on the case. Time for the Hut People. Toes tapping in Edinburgh, William Coles.
We're loving it, yes. It sounds like Gaelic FM.
So it's time for Jim Pybers, the director of the Beverley Folk Festival, to join us as we look ahead to this year's event when the Hut People will be there, won't they, Jim?
They will indeed. Okay. With their usual magical mix of percussion and Sam on the old accordion there.
Fantastic stuff. Let's find out the studio audience feeling with respect to folk music and the Beverley Folk Festival. Ben Lewis, folk.
I don't mind a bit of folk. What? I don't mind it. It's not the top of my list, but I still don't mind a bit of folk.
Okay, well, of course, Brighton to Beverley. There's a book just waiting to be written there.
Exactly.
Shaylee McKenzie.
No, I really enjoy folk music, and there's actually quite a big folk music audience here in Lincoln with people like Zeph and Lucy who are involved with their own folk festival. And for you, for being in its 34th year for the Beverley Festival, that's really, really cool that it's lasted this long, and hopefully it continues to last.
Every year, around 80 plus acts appear on the festival weekend in various on-site venues. In 2016, 30% more music and events than ever before. Something very wrong. What about yourself, Professor Fiona Moore?
Love folk music. Grew up listening to Steel Eye Span. lots of Canadian folk groups I love, like Spirit of the West, Great Big Sea, Uncle Bonsai, that sort of thing. Never been much of a festival goer, but that's mainly because I hate camping. But as a genre, fantastic, and festival organizers are great people.
And the Beverly Race Course is the place to be between the 16th and 18th of June 2017. Only days to go! William, would you like to quiz our festival organiser there, Jim Pybus, who is actually known to Malcolm Tomlinson, who's joining us later. Malcolm lives in Beverly, amongst other things, so it's great stuff there. Would you like to quiz Jim, William, about why it's worthwhile? Forget the Edinburgh Festival. That's coming up later in the month and the year. You should actually get the citizens of Edinburgh flooding down to the East Ridings of Yorkshire and the Beverly Folk Festival.
OK, Jim, hi there. For somebody who's middling interested in folk music, give me your best sell. Why should I come?
You'll have a great weekend in a great destination. It's music, of course, is top of our list. That's what we are at Beverly Folk Festival. But there's also literature, there's comedy, and a great family atmosphere in a wonderful setting.
Right, okay. Will there be alcohol?
There will indeed be alcohol. I'm delighted to say that this year we've got a local brewery in Hull, Atom Brewery, who will be supplying the real ale, and I can assure you I've been forced to test it, and it's terrific beer.
It's taking one for the team, Jim. That's always impressive.
Forced to test it.
Exactly. You noticed that, Ben.
So compared to Glastonbury?
How did we compare to Glastonbury? We're a little bit smaller, you'd be surprised to hear.
It will be mud.
What we lack in size, we have in atmosphere. And we're on the escarpment of the walls overlooking Beverly, so it's a great setting. And it drains very well with it being on choke and on chalkland. And the weekend weather forecast is going to be terrific. Bring your sunblock.
No mud then.
No mud.
But Chalk.
We will actually be doing a feature with somebody who's going to be at Glastonbury as well as Beverly, so it's quite exciting. Yeah, Julie Corton from this parish will be hopefully reporting live from the Glastonbury stage. Meanwhile, Fiona, thoughts from yourself on this local festival with national and international appeal set in a family-friendly environment?
It sounds absolutely wonderful. Sounds like a great way to spend a weekend. The real ales, huge draw. Take it, you're the musical wing of camera going on here. And, chalk list, just absolutely magical.
And we do have Alan Ritson, our very own folk specialist from Siren, who's very keen about it. Shaylee, thoughts from yourself?
It sounds and looks really, really good, like something I'd be interested in. I am a festival goer, and I've been to many a Glastonbury. The thing that I kind of don't like about Glastonbury is how big it is, so maybe this is more my cup of tea.
We're more on a human scale, that's right. And you can stop in the big top, you've got the late night pub, we've got some great concerts, and I'm going to enjoy it, especially after all the hard work that's gone into it.
It is tremendous. We're just having the opening smidgen to a video montage from the Beverly Folk Festival there. Now, looking at some of the artists, one of the artists I got lined up in this little preview of the Folk Festival and the routines is Kelly Oliver. Now, will she still be there or has she had to withdraw?
Kelly Oliver, you've got me there, actually. I'm checking. We've got Kelly Oliver on in the attractions room.
Right.
On Saturday. And in the afternoon, 13:15, in the Little Big Top.
Well, that's what we want to hear. So if we played specially for our Edinburgh correspondent, we've spoken to, of course, William Coles. Still there, William?
Yes, sir.
If we played Caledonia, do you think that's something which might sort of finally put to bed this whole notion of having yet another referendum or other such things?
I'm sure Sturgeon will find a way.
That can be taken in so many ways, Ben. But are you ready for a touch of Caledonia, William?
Yeah, if Caledonia doesn't shut her up, I don't know what will.
Caledonia and Kelly Oliver, does that pass muster with yourself, Jim Pybus?
It does indeed. If Bob Harris likes her, she must be good.
Stay with us, Jim. We'll be back with you very shortly to find out how people can actually sign up for tickets and all the rest of the bits and pieces for the Beverly Folk Festival. BFF. Best friends forever. Or maybe not. Ah.
I don't know if you can see the changes that have come over me in these last few days. I've been afraid we might drift away. I've been telling old stories, singing songs that make me think about where I've come from. That's the reason why I seem so far away today. So let me tell you that I love you, and I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. And if I should become a stranger, know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. Now I've moved and I've kept on moving, proved the points that I needed proving. I've lost the friends I needed losing, found others on the way. Why I've kissed the lads and them crying, stolen dreams, yes, is no denying. I've traveled on with conscience flying somewhere in the wind. So let me tell you that I love you, and I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. And if I should become a stranger, know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. Now I'm sitting here before the fire, an empty room and a forest choir. The flames have cooled, don't get any higher. Withered, now they're gone. But I'm steady thinking, my way is clear. I know just what I will do tomorrow. The hands have shaken, the kisses flow.
William Coles, what did you make of Caledonia by Kelly Oliver?
I liked it. I'd like to hear it again.
Oh, going to the festival. Let's check out the studio. Fiona Moore, Caledonia.
Loved it. Beautiful voice. Going to look up her stuff, see if I can download some things.
Shayla McKenzie.
Yeah, very melodic, really soothing to listen to. Definitely one to watch at Beverley Festival.
And Ben Lewis.
I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. It was a bit different to my typical folk, I'd say. But no, overall, I think it was a very interesting song to listen to.
And that's just a smidgen of the delights you can actually hear at the Beverley Folk Festival. Jim, I appreciate that on Sunday we'd arranged an initial pre-meeting. I thought, no, we're unwrapping a whole range of goodiness from that point of view. Are you excited with literally hours to go now before curtain goes up and the tent flaps are opened to the Beverley Folk Festival?
Absolutely. And also, we'll be relieved when it happens. There's a lot of preparation goes into it, but to be on the side and to see the enjoyment people get and the smiles and just the general atmosphere, it makes it all worthwhile.
Okay, so on the website, which of course is beverleyfestival.com, you can buy weekend tickets, full-day tickets, half-day tickets, and so on. What's the scenario? Can people still buy on the gate? Do they have to wait? How do they actually access details to have entry to the racecourse and the festival?
They can, as you say, buy tickets online, and they can also buy tickets at our box office at the festival. So if you haven't got time to do it online, roll up at the Beverley Racecourse, and our box office will get you in and take your money.
Well, there we are. And would you like to just share the costs for this paroxysm of delight, shall we say?
Could you say that again?
Yes, I know. It's been a long day, and it's even going to be another longer scenario. What are the costs?
A full weekend ticket, access to absolutely everything, is £110 for an adult, £120 for an adult, £110 for a youth. Camping is £20 extra if you want to camp for the weekend. Full day tickets Saturday and Sunday, £50, £40 for youth. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, half day tickets. That's the day and the evening split up. £35 adult, £25 youth, and the afternoon ticket is £20. So the evening is slightly more expensive than the afternoon. And for the three main concerts, which on Friday is John Bowden, Stillhouse and Heidi Talbot, Saturday is Lau, Derry Farrell and False Lights, Sunday the wonderful Eddie Reader, Edwina Hayes and Martin Eliza Carthy, they come in at £25 per ticket.
In the words of Eddie Reader, it's got to be perfect. So,
thank you for that.
Yeah, well, it is important. Shaylee, would you like to put those last two questions to Jim Pybus, please?
Definitely. So, Jim, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
How could I say no? It's been wonderful, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Ah, brilliant. And would you maybe like to come back after Beverley Festival has happened and give us a talk about it?
It kind of builds to 2018, of course.
Yeah. Mm.
I would be delighted to do that and share the news of the weekend and special offer for next year's tickets, which we're going to announce at the festival.
Child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue. Smile never dimmed, said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. College just the other day, so much like a man I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you, can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me.
son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time then.
Midweek Drive team is back after a whole 7 days with the best in chat, guests and audio delights on Siren 107.3 FM.
You know, Malcolm, every so often I think we probably underplays that particular delivery. Maybe we should have actually kind of just ramped up the energy a wee bit. What do you think?
Do you think that was a bit understated?
I thought so. I mean, you know, it was almost a decade ago when we actually popped that into play, and look where we are now. connecting Beverley with the Beverley Folk Festival, Jim Pivers, of course, and Edinburgh. Yes, William Coles has finally connected with us through the delights of Skype. And, William, you have the chance now to speak to the awesomeness who, in many ways, will be doing jingles for yourself, I'm sure, when we can ever get him back into the studio again, where he's not doing all sorts of other bits and pieces. So, William, would you like to say greetings from Edinburgh to Malcolm in the East Ridings?
Malcolm, greetings from Bonnie Scotland.
William, it's really good to hear your voice from north of the border. What can I say?
It's like the Eurovision, but even more exciting. Because from Canada, originally, of course, Professor Fiona Moore.
Absolutely. Greetings from the frozen north, or, well, at the moment, probably the sweltering in 30-degree heat north, but that's a summer for you.
It's a heat wave. Shaylee McKenzie, originally from South Africa, now a citizen of the world. And soon to graduate from the University of Lincoln. Astounding. There we are. Hasn't got a jingle as yet. Ben Lewis has, but, you know, we're still working on one for Shaylee. Ben Lewis also has as well. So all good stuff. Shaylee, you've been doing your research into Malcolm, and I'm sure William has as well. So where would you like to start?
I guess what I'm really interested in is how talented your family is.
Oh, my words.
And, like, just how did both your children get into acting, really? Obviously from you, but...
Yeah, they were forced to do it, Shaylee. It's so much better than sending them up the chimney these days, you know. We wanted them to earn their corn, you know. So, no, look, Eleanor sort of started when she was probably 8 or 9. There was a day where I couldn't get babysitting covered. Jude was working, and I was doing an episode of The Bill or a couple of episodes of The Bill, and I took Eleanor with me on set, and she basically spent most of the time sitting on the director's knee and chatting away to a lady called Bernie Nolan, who was lovely with her, one of the Nolan sisters, who Alex would know very well. And afterwards she said, Daddy, I think I'd like to do some acting work because we're on the way home, and I just thought, oh, no.
Here we go, yeah.
But as it happens, it's turned out really well. And Ross has always sort of had the bug. I mean, he probably got it before Eleanor, really. Yeah, he's always been into singing and dancing. There's always been lots of music in the house. And, you know, I think it was just a natural thing because their mum's a professional singer. Obviously, I'm an actor, and they just sort of went that way, really.
And let's face it, the North East needs to have some sort of answer to the Redgraves and the Harrisons. So Tomlinson's clearly there. Not to be confused, of course, with David Tomlinson, much beloved in Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and indeed Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, yeah.
Great stuff. So, William, does that help set the scene for some questions and interrogatives you might like to put to Malcolm, possibly about the upcoming Father's Day? We heard from Harry Chapin there, and many is the show I did with Malcolm where we celebrated the wonderment of the late, great Harry Chapin. And the sense of, I mean, you have two boys, I think, William, as opposed to a boy.
That's right, yeah.
Yep, so, you know, yeah. Obviously Sunday is Father's Day. Ben, I'm sure you've already got something planned for your papa.
Indeed you do.
Mm, yeah, Shaylee?
Unfortunately, my dad is a Jehovah's Witness, that's so he doesn't actually celebrate.
We'll step away from that sort of thing there.
Sometimes.
Thank you, Malcolm. As you can tell, after all those years, even in the last century, I still make sure that we do our research to the nth degree there. Anyway, William, taking that line a couple of stages further forward, are you looking at either becoming a Jehovah's Witness or indeed... or indeed say, let's celebrate the joys of Father's Day.
The Jehovah's Witnesses. And unlikely, I can't see it coming any day soon.
Well, a couple of days.
Father's... I'm afraid to say that, snook that I am, I put them about on a par with creationists.
So Donald Trump voters. No, don't go there, please. You know, we've been doing all sorts of issues here. We weren't expecting when we launched the programme. 5:35 on the Siren FM. Would you? I mean, have you heard any vibes from your point of view? Because your sons, William, are how old at present?
15 and 12.
Right, so it's at that age where they might sort of think it's no longer cool to celebrate their papa, despite the fact that without your donation, they probably wouldn't be here today. But we won't go any further than that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Exactly. Anything? I mean, do you think it's just simply a case of, well, that we had to have Father's Day because, let's face it, Mothering Sunday took place, so we need to have Father's Day as well? Is it a marketing exercise? What are the thoughts?
Yes, of course it's a marketing exercise. I mean, I get to lie in bed in the morning and get some toast and a cup of tepid tea, and the children are not allowed to bait me too much. I mean, it's okay, but fathers are not supposed to be getting all weepy and emotional about this sort of thing anyway. We just we take our card and our book and say thanks very much. It's not a big deal. I don't think I know a single dad who does consider it to be a big deal.
Malcolm?
I think it's a huge deal. Oh, no, look, I love all stuff like that. I mean, you know, Eleanor, actually, bless her, has booked, get this, she's booked a cottage for us to go to the Lake District this weekend, and has just announced tonight that she ain't going to make it herself.
No!
That's why she booked it, because she knew she couldn't get it.
Exactly. We're beginning to think that, Shaley. I think it was a bit of a ruse to get rid of us for the weekend. But three of us and Ross's partner, so four of us are going to be in the Lake District, but sadly Eleanor's got stuck in Budapest, and she's not going to make it.
It's always the way. Just when you think it's all good. Fiona, what about yourself in terms of the paternal line and so on? Are you flying back to Canada or anything planned?
I've sent him a card. Yeah, no, my dad, bless him, always insists that Father's Day is a marketing exercise and nobody should bother and, you know, it's all just a big fuss, but gets remarkably put out if anybody actually takes him up on that. So I believe my sister and her husband are taking him out for dinner. As for what my sister is doing for her husband, I don't know.
Some things you don't want to find out.
Yes, so probably taking the toddler for an afternoon so he can go jogging or something like that.
Well, I'm looking back in time, Malcolm, at August the 20th, 2012, when, in fact, yes, there we see Malcolm just ahead of doing his horse race at Newmarket with Derek Thompson and Eleanor Tomlinson. Do you know, I think that was our last location report. I mean, you've done Lincolnshire shows before with us, but, you know, there you are in full glorious Technicolor with Graham Harper and others doing the whole sequence there.
That was the hottest day of the year that day, Alex, and I'm sure we all lost about half a stone riding in that charity race at Newmarket. But it was great fun, and we raised quite a lot of money for charity. So
a Titanic good. Tomlinson trio is the one we actually have. But it is actually it's going to be Ben Lewis's first ever Lincolnshire show.
Yes.
Next Ooh. Week.
And first location report.
And first location report. So what can you advise the young man from Brighton, who is in his second year, just completed his second year for his public relations programme here at the University of Lincoln? What sort of things can he, and indeed Shaley McKenzie, who's just about to graduate from the University of Lincoln, what can they expect from the Lincolnshire show, Malcolm?
Well, I think you guys should just get round to as many stores as you possibly can and speak to as many people as you can, because there's so many fascinating people turn up there with, you know, lots of different skills. And we had, last time I was there with Alex, we had a long chat to some beekeepers, and you know, the stuff we learned about bees and the making of honey was nobody's business, and there's just so many people there who are just skilled in so many different areas, and it was a really fascinating day. It flies by, so get around as many stores and people as you can is my advice.
This year, another little confession, I did not listen to Malcolm Tomlinson's commentary for BBC Radio 5 Live on the Grand National. Actually, I didn't listen to the Grand National at all. It just sort of passed me by.
Well, that's just as well, because I didn't do it this year.
Oh, there we are. I just sense what's the point with respect to that. But how is the horse racing commentary going?
It's going great, thanks, Alex. Yeah, I still do probably 80 to 90 days a year on track and for Sky Television, so that's really busy and fits in really well with the acting. I'm going to be at Royal Ascot one day next week, which is very exciting, so, yeah, all good.
Yeah, there was a time a few years ago when I managed to actually do exam boards, Lincolnshire Show, Royal Ascot and the Royal Highland Show. But I've seen since then, I don't know.
That was when life was a social well.
Oh, she was. I'm just looking at Malcolm and Graham Harper proudly displaying their Midweek Drive mugs. Do you still have your Midweek Drive mug there, Malcolm?
I'm afraid it got knocked off the side once, Alex, and didn't quite survive. But if you want to replace it, that would be good.
It was something I said, clearly. You know, it's clashed to one side. William, any further questions you'd like to put to Malcolm about horse racing? His tips are legendary. You know, always, in so many ways.
I would like to ask Malcolm the classic question. What's been your biggest disaster? With all your tons of presenting, what's been the biggest disaster?
Biggest disaster calling a race. Goodness me. Well, just after I'd started as a commentator years and years ago, William, I was commentating on the Newcastle Plate, which is a big race up at Newcastle. It's called the Pitman's Derby every summer. And there was a massive field and lots of horses vying for the lead inside the final furlong. And there's one right coming on the far side rail really, really fast. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's that. So I named it, and then suddenly realised it was the wrong one. But fortunately, being an actor, you know, you sort of manage to sort of twist your way out of it and make it look like you really identified the right one all the time. And fortunately, I did get the right one as it sort of crossed the line, but that was a pretty near miss. So, yeah, I was quaking a bit. It was either that or running through fields of wheat was my worst.
It takes sports commentary to a whole new level, honestly. Fiona, of course, mutual friend there, Graham Harper.
Yes.
We haven't actually sort of bonded you as yet with the Tomlinsons. It's not a genetic engineering procedure. Is there any thoughts from yourself? Any questions for Malcolm about life, the universe? Or indeed, is Aidan Turner the best Poldark, or are you old school at the end of the day?
Ah, oh, you know, he's cute, but, you know, it'll always be Robin for me, I'm afraid.
There you
are. Well, do you know, Robin's actually in the new series, isn't he?
Yeah, I saw that. That was really a nice touch of them, actually, to get him in there.
Yeah.
I still think, I mean, they did do, Winston Graham did write a further series when Ross and DeMills are old and the children are grown, and I still think they're missing a trick by not covering that series, and well, obviously, unfortunately, Anger at Reese, but you know, Robin Ellis is still around.
Right, okay. Well, you have to stay tuned, Fiona, because there are 12 books apparently that Winston.
Oh, they're doing them all, are they?
And
yes,
they might well be doing them all. I couldn't possibly say.
You couldn't possibly say, could you? Yeah,
it's bad enough. Ellen was saying there could go seasons 4 and 5 in the count, etc. But we can't look at contractual details at this particular. We just celebrate the joy,
yes,
and say thank God Jack the Giant Killer didn't actually sort of reach the pinnacle. It was good movie.
And also say you heard it here first on Siren FM.
Or was that little exclusivity that works through that whole process?
Yep.
Shaylee, any further questions?
Out of everywhere you've worked, for instance, Emmerdale, EastEnders and The Bill, which one was your favourite place to act and work with?
Ooh, that's interesting. I'd probably have to go for Emmerdale, Shaylee, simply because the character was really challenging and quite long-running, which is always a plus. And he was a bit of a nasty piece of work, and it's always fun playing baddies because, you know, there's a lot more to them, really. Yeah. So I think I'd say, Bruce Baines in Emmerdale.
Malcolm Tomlinson would knock spots off John Sims' master if the Doctor Who producers ever see sense and actually say it's time that Tomlinson sort of took on board the mantle of the master.
Well, wouldn't that be great? Drop a hint, Alex.
Yes. John Sims' master's all wet. Seriously, go for the job.
Exactly. There you have it, you know. Doctor Who scholar puts to the fore. Now, finally, Malcolm, a couple of key things coming through, which we've missed for such a long time on the Midweek Drive, apart from present company. Have you got a pencil to hand or a pen or something?
Yeah, I've got a pen, yeah.
So you know, in essence, we've got William Coles in Edinburgh. Okay.
Yes.
We've got Fiona Moore, Shaylee McKenzie and Ben Lewis in Lincoln. Yep.
Yes.
And coming up, we have Uber Fuse. That's Uber Fuse.
Yeah.
That's a band who are going to be singing Secret Tattoo.
Uber
Fuse with Secret Tattoo. Exactly.
And you've got someone from Los Angeles Zoo coming on.
Yeah.
At Los Angeles Zoo last summer.
Yeah. There we are. Had we but known and we'd connected a bit earlier, we would have put you in touch and you could have actually had a whole... let us know when you're next in Los Angeles. We'll put you in touch with a whole range of LA folk there.
Marvellous.
But... What I'm going to ask you to do, Malcolm, and I'm sure this will be a first for William, who's just coming to grips with this whole notion of Skype, and it's worked very well. This is marvellous. I'd like you to do your usual racehorse commentary-style introduction to combine all of those things. But before we get that, William's going to ask you those last two questions, and you can check whether the new boy, as far as telephonic connections, and fair enough, he's a Washington correspondent, ace novelist, general inspirational writer. William, would you like to put those last two questions to Malcolm, please?
I would love to. Malcolm, please brace yourself. Have you had an interesting telephonic link with Saren?
I certainly have. Thank you, William.
That's nice.
Ask you on again, will you come on board?
Yeah, you try and stop me.
There we are. Yes, we've had the Tomlins in the studio. We'll return. All right, Malcolm, the studio is set. Fiona, I think, is set for this. I don't think you've quite experienced the Malcolm Tomlinson routine, and this is something which can totally revolutionise broadcasting. Would you like to, in your own unique style, take it away, Malcolm Tomlinson?
They're racing down towards the final furlong in the midweek drive stakes. Sheila McKenzie out in front from Fiona Moore, who's challenging strongly on the outside. Ben Lewis is next in the field with Williams Coles from Edinburgh coming strongly on the outside. Alex Lefchuk is completely tailed off, racing up towards the line and overfuse from the back.
I think a round of applause. Woo!
Brilliant.
I
took a look at you straight away.